We're glad you're here this morning. As we open God's Word, we're going to look at what it means to be rooted and growing in Christ. With, again, that's our theme for the church year. We're going to look at what it means to build community. But very profoundly, hopefully, we'll learn that what does it mean for us to live in love? As we open the passage of 1 John, as it's written, has something going on in it called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a religious belief, a cultic belief you could call it, going on around this time where there was a profound emphasis on knowledge and all the material and everything that goes around it really was evil. It wasn't good. And so Gnosticism really focuses on knowledge. Now, in the verses leading up to the passage that we're going to read, John writes a lot about knowledge and says some very deep theological things or religious beliefs about our understanding of God. And now he comes out and he practically applies it to people who really have knowledge at the forefront of everything they do and they believe. So they would have had a hard time grasping what he's saying. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. If you've ever seen the movie Frozen, in a real place in Norway called Arendal, there is a princess named Princess Elsa and Princess Anna. This princess gains some powers that everything she touches turns to ice and to snow. And as she gets older and she gets older, she pushes her sister more and more away. Until one day she touches, I forget what she touches in the movie, but the whole town of Arendal turns to ice and it's bitterly cold. She goes up, that's Elsa, into the mountains. Her sister, Princess Anna, chases her. And in a moment of anger, trying to get her to go away, she sends out her snow power and she freezes Princess Anna's heart. They go and visit some trolls who end up telling them that the only way to cure her is through an act of true love. Everyone in the village is now after Princess Elsa, and they're determined to kill her. And in a moment of true love, Princess Anna sacrifices herself for her sister. And then a cute little snowman named Olaf says, an act of true love will thaw a frozen heart. An act of true love. There's nothing quite so powerful, is there, as the act of true love? I think love enables us to see people as God sees them. Love enables us to love as God would want us to love. And living in love would have within us a desire to reach out and enfold people as God would do that. I love that statement. Maybe you've heard it. To reach out and enfold. That is really the statement of community church, isn't it? It's a statement of love. It's a statement of saying God has so loved us, we want to welcome and embrace all who would come in, that they too may know of the love of God and grow up to be a devoted follower of Jesus. That's what God does, doesn't he? God comes and he reaches out and he enfolds you and I and all who would come out into this place so that we would hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus and come to faith. Here's what it says. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So let me ask you a question. How is it that we can love God whom we can't see, and yet we can't love one another? I mean, if we love, the Bible says God lives in us. If we love one another, we make God visible to the world. And here's what it says in the book of John in the 14th chapter. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son who is himself God is closest in relationship to the Father has made him known. So here you get the book of John and the book of 1 John saying this together. No one has ever seen God, but if we love, we make God known. And in fact, it would go even farther and say this. We actually make something complete in us that is lacking. Here's what it's saying. It's that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we love, give testament or testimony to the fact that we have been saved, to God's finished work on the cross, and it's testimony that we, in fact, are saved. And if we don't love, it says, then we don't know God. In fact, in another place, it says, if we do not love, we are disobedient to God. Buchanan would write in his thoughts on this passage is, what is wonderful about all of this is that John strips away everything that we might think about this passage. Any other interpretation that we may try to add to the book of 1 John, to the 4th chapter of what it means to love, is stripped away because he's going to say this. This is love, and this is what I want you to do. He says this, God is love. Do you notice how it begins with God? It doesn't begin with us. It says, because God so loved us, you are able to love one another. So the question is how does God love us? Verse 10 says this, is that he made himself an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Now, this is going to be crucial for you and I if we're going to understand everything that 1 John entails. When he says that he is an atoning sacrifice, he's saying is that his sacrifice on the cross is perfect. Everything that had happened in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement, where every year a sacrifice was made for the sin of the people, is now taken care of. It doesn't need to happen again because Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice, without blemish and without sin, died for you and I. It's taken care of. It also means something. Now, I'm going to use some big theological words that are actually quite simple. Expiation and propitiation. Now, this is important because if it is made perfect, something needed to happen. Expiation says this. Something happens to your sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he washed it away. He made it as white as snow. It is taken care of and it's done. So that is what happens to our sin. Now, propitiation says that if something happens to our sin, something needs to happen to God. And what happens here is God's wrath and God's anger and God's justice are taken care of. All that has kept us separated from God has been taken care of. Now, the atoning sacrifice also means then, if that is taken care of, there's a reconciliation that can happen. That means the things that have separated us from God are now taken care of, and you and I can have a relationship with God because of our redemption in him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Now, the love of God is radical, it's costly, it's extravagant. It goes to the far ends of the earth to show others that they're loved. Let me give you two examples. One is quite simple and the one is more profound. One that has struck me significantly is I served in a church where I was a youth pastor for many years, and one of my colleagues was just getting to ready to retire, and I think he was moving to Iowa at the time. And Carmen and I were going to get ready to get married, and we invited him and his wife to come to the wedding and to the dinner, and they weren't going to be available. But what do we know is they drove all the way to our wedding. They showed up. We invited them to the dinner. We don't need to come. We just wanted to be here for your big day. And here's the extravagant thing that he comes in. He goes, "Don't you think that you're worth it?" They had dinner with friends, and then they drove back home. What an extravagant gift they gave to Carmen and I, predominantly more to me because I knew him a bit better, that they gave to us on our wedding day. And then there's Terry. Terry works on Bay Street, and he's got a great job. But Terry began to see the effects that Bay Street has on some of his coworkers. He began to see some of the addictions. He began to see some of the drugs and the prostitution that a lot of his colleagues were getting involved in. And so he decided that he was going to go and he was going to work, move off of Bay Street and go and work among the people that he saw their lives were falling apart. And so you would see him sitting in a bar talking with somebody who just lost a ton of money in the stock market, probably going to lose their job. Seen somebody else who was empty and was seeking pleasures through someone that wasn't their spouse. He would sit there and he would sit on the street with those who were homeless simply because they needed to be loved. You know, the people of Jesus' day hated what Jesus was doing because Jesus was changing the scorecard of everything that was going on. Remember, a lot of the people now at this point are focused on knowledge being everything and knowledge being supreme. And then you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders who simply had to see a new scorecard. It wasn't in how much knowledge, it wasn't in their position, it wasn't going to be in how many laws they kept or whether they obeyed all of the Torah. Jesus comes and he throws their world upside down and they don't know what to do with it. I think Jesus wanted to get the point that it's one thing to know about the love of God. It's one thing to know where to love, but it's quite another to do it. It's not just a feeling, it's something that God wants. Do you ever find it hard to love people? Man, let me tell you, the girl named Cheryl. Cheryl was a girl I went to Bible college with. She walked into a room, she took charge, and she took charge of everybody. She knew everything about every subject known to humanity. When she spoke, it was as if God himself had spoken. And there she was, she cornered me in the parking lot one day because she had a word for me, and it was a word that I needed to hear. I mean, if you could have given me glass to eat, I would have taken it just to get out of the scenario. But if loving people like Cheryl were easy, God wouldn't have had to give us this command. God wouldn't have had to say, you know what? You need to love people even when it's hard. I mean, that's an easy scenario. Picture something more difficult in your life happening. There was, at the end of the Korean War, there was a communist soldier who had arrested a man who was a Christian who he needed to put to death. He'd come to learn in talking to this man before his execution that the man ran an orphanage, that he was caring for the poor and the needy and the hungry. And he just didn't think that this man should have to give his life. But according to the law, somebody had to die. So this Korean soldier had a 19-year-old son who he offered up to free this man. And there he watched his own son die so that this man could be set free. He was, and he went back to the orphanage. And a few years later, this Korean communist soldier was himself arrested. And there at his trial was this man whose life he had just saved. And by every right, this communist soldier was to give his life for what he had done. Although he was young and he was idealistic, and he ultimately did pay by giving his own son, this man pleaded for him. He pleaded for them to free him, that he would take him and he would spend his days working in the orphanage. The man came to faith. And this Korean communist soldier became a pastor simply because somebody loved him with the love of God. What would it be like if the church was that kind of place that loved even when it was difficult? That whenever somebody would walk into a church, whether it's ours or another church, they would say, man, this is what love is. I've never seen anything like it before. Thankfully, we won't have to go through what this Korean soldier did. But that's what God did, didn't he? God comes into the world and he overturns the tables in the temple to make a point. He goes to the blind and to the lame and to the sick, to the prostitute, to the tax collector, to the religious leaders. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. If you love one another, you make God known. You ever thought about that? If you love one another, God lives in you. What does that all mean? If we love one another, then I think it means that we'll forgive one another. But it also means that we'll ask for forgiveness. Because we'll realize at times that maybe we're the one who ultimately needs to be forgiven. If we love one another, we'll show hospitality to everyone who would enter the door of our lives and of our church. And we'll love them so extravagantly that they'll be amazed that anyone could ever love like that. If we love one another, we'll encourage one another. I think the ways very encouragingly for you that you do that. I think through those of you that give of your gifts and of your time, that invest in the lives of each other, that deliver meals or cards or make phone calls or visits or simply just have a word for someone. If you love one another, we'll encourage one another. If you love one another, it says that we'll pray for one another. And here's what it says in John. Notice the correlation to our passage. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded. And so Jesus would leave the earth and he would go to his Father in heaven. And I believe when he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, so that you may bear witness to me, he wants to understand that we would be the visible, physical presence of his work here on earth, so that others would be pointed to him. And we simply love. There was a lady who was making soup for a lady in her building at her old age home. They had their own apartments and their own stoves, and they couldn't figure out why she would do this. Her kids wanted to pay this lady because no one has ever done this kind of thing before. To which she said, why wouldn't I do it? To which she simply said, because I can. But we're not Dutch. We're not Christian Reformed. Why would you even do this kind of thing? Simply because that's what I'm supposed to do. And then she made some pea soup and another kind of soup, and the lady couldn't figure out why. And it was simply because somebody wanted to love her. I think of Karen. Karen's a nurse. And close to her, there is a lady who has Lou Gehrig's disease. And she decides that she's going to help out this family. But she can't do it on her own. So she goes to her church and she recruits 31 other people who join her and who pray and who support and who encourage this family simply because they want to love that family. I think of the refugee family that we're sponsoring that hopefully will arrive here sometime soon. But We're called to love. What if it was more than just raising money with a couple of other churches? What if when they came here, we began to befriend them? We invite them not only to join us, but we invite them into our homes. Maybe we even interact in a variety of different ways. Simply because God has so loved us. I think it's easy, don't you think, to say, God wants us to love. I agree. God is love. Absolutely. But I think it's harder to do because it takes us out of our comfort zone. It makes us wrestle with the uncomfortableness of the gospel. It makes us to realize that the Christian life is harder than we can imagine. But we do it because that's so dear to the heart of God. So what are some things that you and I can do? How can we take this knowledge that we'd all say yes to and practically live it out? Well, let me give you three things, which I'm borrowing from somebody else, but kind of my own twist on them, is right after the service, when you grab, there's some coffee this morning, and hopefully there's some tea, and you grab a refreshment. What if you and I this morning were to smile, we were to walk up to somebody that we haven't talked to maybe ever before or in a long time, or maybe somebody that we've never met this morning? And that would be the first thing that we would do simply because we want to live out the love of God. That's the first challenge for you today. So after the service, as you're staying and you're going to grab a cup of coffee, talk to somebody that you have never talked to or talked to in a long time. Second thing is, what if we were to invite people into our story? Whether it be in our neighborhood or in our community or even here in the church. And we invite people into our homes. Maybe we would invest into them simply because we want to love. And third is, if you are not doing so and you're looking for a place to serve and you want to live out your faith in the kingdom of God, Pastor Jack and I would love to talk to you about the opportunities that are available. Because love is believing what God says about people. It's being moved as God was moved, so much so to the cross. And it's helping others to be connected to God. Would we all agree that God is love? Yeah? Would we all agree, raise your hand, that God wants us to love? Right? Now here comes the hard part of everything I'm going to say to you this morning. How are you going to love sacrificially like God this week? Because the Bible says that if we love, God is made visible in us. And if we love, brain fart this morning. God is made visible in us, and God is made known. So let's go and let's live in love this week. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are the giver of all good gifts. We thank you that your word is uncomfortable and it's challenging and it's convicting. Lord, I pray for community church here, Lord, as we seek to be rooted in growing in Christ. And this morning we talk about what it means to be in community. And Lord, ultimately that begins with love. That, Lord, community church would be this place that is so enamored with the love of God that we could call this place home. That, Lord, everyone who would enter into this place would say, man, this place gets it. They know what it is to love. They know what it is to live in love. And so, Lord, break through the uncomfortableness, break through the excuses, break through the patterns that we find ourselves continually running into. And that, Lord, in the next days and weeks and months and years, you would explode something beautiful within this church. That, Lord, this church would just continue to be a place that loves and loves well. And that, Lord, not only those who have been here for a while, but those who maybe today are here for the very first time would say, you know what? Ha, this church gets it. And they love, and I want to be a part of that. We just pray, Lord, that you would do your work in that. Lord, we pray that you would be with the Croons and their grandchild, Lord, who will begin radiation and chemotherapy treatments, Lord. We thank you that the surgery was successful. Lord, we just want to just pray for this young child, Lord, for its body to be receptive to the medicine. That, Lord, you would indeed have pushed back everything that is sick within his body, and that, Lord, you would ultimately and totally and completely heal him. We pray that you'd keep him free from an infection and cold and illness. Would you be with his parents, Lord, as they walk this journey with him? Lord, that you would give them the strength and the encouragement and the refreshment that they need. Would you be with Phil and Janetta, Lord, as they re-engage with their work in Tanzania? We pray that you would bear much fruit. We pray that you would use them in the area of agriculture and medicine, Lord, for your glory. We pray that they too would have deep impact in that community, not only with the tangible things that they bring, Lord, but with the, some would say, is the intangible. But Lord, the story of the gospel, and may they, like us, love authentically, genuinely, sacrificially, recklessly, so that everyone they encounter and we encounter would hear of the love of God. And so, God, we also want to give you our small group session, which will happen after church this morning. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds as to how to effectively understand our Muslim brothers and sisters, Lord, and how we can effectively share our faith, how we can effectively love them with a love that only you can give, and that we would in turn be able to tell the story of the one who is our atoning sacrifice. And so, God, we give you the rest of this service, and we pray that you would be honored in all we do, in all we say, and that as a church, we would be rooted and growing in love. In your name we pray. Amen.